After listening to people's feedback during the past several weeks on this issue, I am taking action to affirm the state's commitment to privacy and equality.
It's just not a good thing to hurt people.
Folks stay hidden, especially in the more rural areas. They make pilgrimages, if you will, to places like Little Rock, just so they can find places where they can express their true selves.
Welcome to This Way Out, the international LGBT radio magazine. I'm Lucia Chappell. Activists attack the constitutionality of Kenya's sex code, North Carolina's governor digs in despite derision, and a trans activist defends Arkansas's local anti-bias laws. Those stories and more this week, now that you've discovered This Way Out.
I'm Carol Myers.
And I'm John Dyer V.
With NewsWrap, a summary of some of the news in or affecting LGBT communities around the world for the week ending April 16, 2016. LGBT rights activists in Kenya have filed a first-ever challenge to the East African nation's penal code statutes that punish carnal knowledge against the order of nature with up to 14 years in prison. Gross indecency with another male is punishable by 5 years in jail. The laws date back to 1930. Eric Gatari, who leads Kenya's National Gay and Lesbian Human Rights Commission, says those laws violate constitutional rights to equality, dignity, and privacy, and make it socially acceptable to persecute, intimidate, and extort sexual minorities. The petition itself charges that the laws degrade the inherent dignity of affected individuals by outlawing their most private and intimate means of self-expression. President Uhuru Kenyatta told Barack Obama during the U.S. president's visit to his ancestral homeland last year that there are some things that African cultures or societies just don't accept. His government said it prosecuted 595 people under the anti-gay statutes between 2010 and early 2014. In 2015, Gatari won the right in court to officially register his group, but the government refuses to accept the ruling. According to Reuters, Gatari is also involved in a case challenging the government's use of forced anal tests to prove that two men in the city of Mombasa had had sex. He told the news agency that the petition in that case would be heard in October.
A court in China has refused to hear the country's first marriage equality lawsuit. Sun Wenlin and Hu Mingliang filed suit against the Civil Affairs Bureau in the Hunan provincial capital city of Changsha, after the couple's application to register their union on June 23rd last year, their one-year anniversary, was rejected. To the surprise of many, a district court agreed earlier this year to consider the lawsuit. But the judge dismissed the case on April 13th, just a few hours after the hearing began. The couple's lawyer, Shi Funong, said he expected the case to fail, but not so quickly. He told Agence France-Presse that denying same-gender couples the right to civil marriage goes against the spirit of the laws of the People's Republic of China. He said the couple plans to appeal the decision. The New York Times reported considerable support for them on social media. It quoted user Garden on the Roof on Weibo, China's equivalent of Twitter, who wrote that, "Being able to knock open the court's door is already a victory. Keep going." Hundreds also gathered outside the courthouse before the hearing to show their support. Homosexual acts were decriminalized in China in 1997, and lesbian and gay people were subsequently removed from the official list of mental disorders. But sexual orientation remains a dicey subject in the world's most populous nation.
Meanwhile, the Roman Catholic Church has pressured some of Australia's biggest companies to stop promoting marriage equality. Sydney Archdiocese business manager Michael Diggs sent a form letter to many of the more than 800 companies that have pledged their support for the group Australian Marriage Equality. The letter questioned whether it is the role of a corporation such as yours to be participating in such an important matter that impacts all of Australian society now and into the future. Telecom giant Telstra seems to have buckled, though it denies that pressure from the church prompted any policy change. A press statement reaffirmed the company's commitment to diversity, but said that because of the impending civil marriage equality plebiscite, we have no further plans to be active in the debate. Telstra seems to be alone this far in cutting back on its public support for marriage equality. The openly gay chief executives of Qantas Airlines and national broadcaster SBS were also targeted. Alan Joyce and Michael Ebade, respectively, have each argued that civil marriage equality is an important corporate issue because it would help retain or attract LGBT talent to Australia. Joyce told the Sydney Star-Observer that, "If you're unhappy with the company that's involved with the campaign, you won't be able to bank and you won't be able to fly anywhere."
North Carolina's embattled Republican Governor Pat McCrory continued his efforts this week to defend the anti-queer law he signed in late March, HB 2. It forces trans people to use the bathroom that corresponds to the gender on their birth certificate rather than the facility they feel most comfortable in, the only provision McCrory wants to talk about. He continues to insist that the law did not take anyone's rights away, even though HB 2 also specifically overturned an LGBT civil rights ordinance in the city of Charlotte and banned any other local government from passing similar protections. That hasn't stopped more and more companies from refusing to do business in the state. And a growing list of entertainers, including Bruce Springsteen, Ringo Starr, Mumford & Sons, Annie DeFranco, Cirque du Soleil, and comic Joel McHale, have either canceled gigs in the Tar Heel State or donated the profits from their shows to local LGBT advocacy groups.
Meanwhile, Mississippi's Republican Governor Phil Bryant, who signed a law this week allowing parishioners to carry guns in church, also continues to defend his state's so-called religious freedom law. It allows people in both the private and public sectors to discriminate against sexual minorities or anyone else they don't like based on sincerely held religious belief or moral conviction. The law, enacted in late March, has already cost the hospitality state significant tourism dollars, and its trade association joined a growing number of businesses this week urging lawmakers to repeal it. Out lesbian Robin Roberts of ABC TV's Good Morning America is a Mississippi native. Ironically, she graces the cover of this year's Mississippi Tourism Association guide. In a statement condemning the anti-LGBT law, she noted that she agreed to be on the cover last year, well before recent events.
Tennessee's Republican Attorney General Herbert Slattery has announced his opposition to a so-called bathroom bill currently being considered in the state legislature. He warns that its passage could cost the volunteer state millions of dollars in federal funds. Obama administration officials have already announced the possible loss of funding in North Carolina and Mississippi because of their discriminatory laws. The proposal in Tennessee, echoing the bill passed in North Carolina, criminalizes trans people who use the public facilities, such as bathrooms and locker rooms, that match their gender identity rather than what their birth certificate says. Republican Governor Bill Haslam has also expressed concerns about the bill jeopardizing federal funding, but hasn't said if he would sign or veto it. And opposition from the business and entertainment communities to the anti-trans measure also continues to put pressure on the Republican-dominated legislature to abandon it. Like the literally hundreds of anti-LGBT bills infecting a number of states this year, the Tennessee measure is seen as an attempt to push back against the U.S. Supreme Court's June 2015 civil marriage equality ruling.
But Louisiana Governor John Bel Edwards, a Democrat, issued an executive order this week rescinding the anti-gay edicts of his predecessor, Bobby Jindal. The far-right Republican had issued religious freedom orders allowing discrimination against sexual and gender minorities. Governor Edwards, who took office in January, also banned anti-LGBT bias by government contractors. Pennsylvania Governor Tom Wolf issued a similar order protecting LGBT state workers from discrimination last week. These pro-LGBT actions are no doubt a response to the anti-queer laws being passed or considered in other states.
And finally, the makers of Wheaties may be a bit late to the corporate pool party, but they finally dove in. The company announced last week that four-time Olympic gold medalist Greg Louganis would appear on the orange-colored cereal box as part of a new Wheaties Legends series. The openly gay, HIV-positive diver, now 56 years old, has speculated that homophobia was most likely why General Mills, the maker of Wheaties, didn't make him a cover boy after his 1984 and 1988 Summer Olympics triumphs. But he told the New York Times that finally getting on the Wheaties box might truly be better late than never. This means so much more than it would have back then, he said. Getting it now means people will see me as a whole person. A flawed person who is gay, HIV positive, with all the other things I've been through. He expressed his elation during a promotional interview distributed by General Mills.
I think it's really incredible to see how far we've come as far as human rights and acknowledging love, respect. I mean, I'm legally married now to my husband, and we've been married for 2 years. And, you know, it's just, I never thought I'd see this day.
And now Wheaties Legends Series box. How about that?
Now Wheaties Legends Series box. Amazing.
That's News Wrap for the week ending April 16th, 2016. Produced by Steve Pride, written by Greg Gordon, and recorded at the studios of KPFK Los Angeles.
Follow the news in your area and around the world. An informed community is a strong community.
News Wrap from This Way Out is brought to you by you.
Help keep us on the air and in your ears at thiswayout.org. where you can also read the text of this newscast. For This Way Out, I'm John Dyer V.
And I'm Carol Myers.
This is a huge battleground here in the state, and there are progressive pockets here in Arkansas.
Defending Arkansas's progressive pocket protectors later in the program. The pastoral political melodrama sparked by North Carolina Governor Pat McCrory's signing of HB2 grows more purple by the day. McCrory continues to justify the bill that overturned the city of Charlotte's LGBT civil rights ordinance and banned other local governments from enacting similar protections. Insisting that HB2 does not take away rights, he only addresses the part of the law that bars trans people from using bathrooms, locker rooms, and other public facilities that correspond to their gender identity. Pacifica Radio's Mark Miracle reported on the Republican governor's latest floundering dig-in-his-heels defense.
McCrory announced a change to parts of a new law that eliminates anti-discrimination protections for lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender people. McCrory ordered protections for state employees based on sexual orientation and gender, and he asked North Carolina lawmakers to restore the right to sue over discrimination.
North Carolina proudly welcomes all people to live, work, and visit our great state. We didn't become the ninth most populous state in the nation by accident. We have long held traditions of both ensuring equality for all our citizens and visitors, while also respecting the privacy of everyone. We are also a state that strives to allow our people and businesses to be as independent as possible without overreaching government regulations. These North Carolina values of privacy and equality came into conflict recently when the Charlotte City Council passed a new mandate that forced on businesses a citywide ordinance of bathroom and locker room regulations, something, frankly, we had never seen or had before in that great city or in North Carolina. Simply put, this government overreach was a solution in search of a problem. In fact, Charlotte City Council rejected this proposal less than 1 year ago. The state took action on what was seen as government overreach. You know, after listening to people's feedback during the past several weeks on this issue, I have come to the conclusion that there's a great deal of misinformation, misinterpretation, confusion, passion, and frankly, selective outrage and hypocrisy, especially against the great state of North Carolina. But based on this feedback, I am taking action to affirm the state's commitment to privacy and equality. To that end, today I have signed an executive order with the goal of achieving that fine balance. It maintains common sense, gender-specific restroom and locker room facilities in government buildings and in our schools. And when possible, it allows for facilities for those who have unique or special circumstances. I have affirmed the private sector and local government's right to establish its own non-discrimination employment policies. And as governor, I have expanded our state equal employment opportunity policy to clarify that sexual orientation and gender identity are included. Simply put, I have listened to the people of North Carolina, and the people of North Carolina are entitled to both privacy and equality. We can and we must achieve both of these goals. Now, I know these actions will not totally satisfy everyone, but the vast majority of our citizens want common sense solutions to complex issues. This is the North Carolina way. Thank you very much, and may God continue to bless the great state of North Carolina.
Deutsche Bank is just the latest in a growing number of major companies pulling out of the Tar Heel State. Entertainers ranging from Bruce Springsteen to Cirque du Soleil are either canceling their North Carolina performances or donating the profits to local LGBT advocacy groups. Equality North Carolina's Chris Scrow led the chorus of those who were less than impressed with the governor's homily.
Some of the provisions in his executive order actually double down on the worst parts of House Bill 2. We need a legislative fix. We don't just need an executive order. I very much doubt that this is going to do much to assuage the concerns of the business community, but we do look forward to continued conversation over non-discrimination protections with Governor McCrory.
Charlotte employment attorney Kevin Murphy told Time Warner Cable North Carolina that McCrory's executive order is too little, too late.
What it doesn't do is tell the world that North Carolina doesn't discriminate against folks for being gay or for being transgender. It's still legal to discriminate in this state in public accommodations and employment based on those two grounds. The governor doesn't exactly have authority to wipe away HB2 unilaterally through this executive order the way he did have 3 weeks ago when it was his choice to veto the legislation or allow it to go through.
I think the governor needs to go farther than where he's gone, and I hope he will. It has damaged our credibility in the nation so bad and hurt our credibility with businesses. We just can't afford to lose these jobs.
Democratic State Representative Billy Richardson told MSNBC this week that he plans to introduce a repeal measure in the upcoming legislative session.
We're coming up into our short session in 2 weeks, and I would hope and pray that we as a deliberative body would come together and work towards resolving this. It's just not a good thing to hurt people.
We leave North Carolina, for now, with this YouTube parody posted by Daniel Cook.
Today I have signed an executive order with the goal of achieving that fine balance of misinformation, discrimination, outrage, and frankly, sexual confusion. Second, I have affirmed the government's right to overreach your private sector. We can and we must achieve both of these goals. Now, I know these actions will not totally satisfy everyone, but the vast majority of our citizens want common sense government overreach. This is the North Carolina way, and may God continue to bless common sense discrimination and hypocrisy, the great state of North Carolina.
Hi, this is Greg Louganis.
Hi, I'm Margaret Cho.
Hello, this is Edmund White.
Hi, I'm Kate Quinton.
Hello, I'm Armistead Maupin.
Hi, I'm Clive Barker.
This is Essex Hemphill.
This is Judy Shepard.
Hello, this is Ian McKellen.
Hi, this is Janice Ian.
This is Bishop Gene Robinson.
Hi, I'm Daryl Stevens, and you've discovered
This Way Out.
This Way Out.
This Way Out.
The international radio show for all our sexually diverse communities and those who love them.
You ain't gonna get this nowhere else.
The confrontation over anti-discrimination laws in Arkansas that has been simmering since last year has come to a boil. This Way Out correspondent Abby Dees learned the latest from a queer activist well known for her own stand against injustice in the state.
The newest front in the fight for LGBT rights might be almost where it began, with LGBT rights opponents finding ways to stop local and city anti-discrimination ordinances. In Arkansas, the Attorney General filed a challenge to the city of Fayetteville's voter-approved anti-discrimination ordinance. She said the local law violates a state law enacted last year that, like North Carolina, prohibits local governments from extending civil rights protections beyond those offered by the state. And of course, Arkansas does not offer protections based on sexual orientation and gender identity. Via Skype, I got to talk to one Arkansas resident who has been fighting back.
I'm the Reverend Gwen Fry, and I am an Episcopal priest in the Diocese of Arkansas. I've been a priest for 25 years and recently transitioned from male to female. And in that process, I lost my position in the church that I was working in.
Since the state ban, Act 137, was passed, a number of cities in Arkansas have passed LGBT civil rights ordinances, almost like they're saying, bring it on. What do you think this says right now about the people of Arkansas and LGBT rights?
This is a huge battleground here in the state. And one of the things that it says, especially about Fayetteville and some of the other cities that have passed ordinances, is that there are progressive pockets here in Arkansas, especially in Fayetteville, where the University of Arkansas is located. And it shows that there is some progress here in moving towards justice for all people.
Act 137 also goes by the name, I love this, the Interstate Commerce Improvement Act, which just on its face seems so unremarkable. And the act itself doesn't mention religious liberty. It doesn't even mention LGBT people. And its stated purpose is to create uniformity of law so businesses won't be confused about what they're supposed to do, I suppose. Do you think there's any validity to that?
None whatsoever. And it was a slick way to get the legislation passed, actually. One of the things with Act 137 is even though it legislates that no municipalities or counties can pass any NDOs, it in and of itself is unconstitutional.
Right.
The legislature passed a law that protects LGBT folks against bullying. So we are already a protected class in the state. The Attorney General really doesn't have a leg to stand on. So we are looking forward to her appeal.
And I'm guessing that they forgot when they did this about the anti-bullying legislation or didn't think anybody would notice that there is, like you said, already state protection. And I know that the city attorney of Little Rock came out and said, oh, well, yeah, we can pass an anti-discrimination ordinance because there is protection for LGBT people in Arkansas. What do you think's happening behind closed doors? Because I'm sure they didn't plan on this.
I think some of the folks who really pushed this legislation at the state level really did not expect this loophole to appear, and they didn't do their homework, and this is allowing us to fight back and using the Constitution, the rule of law, in our favor.
Shortly after Act 137 passed, Arkansas also passed one of the most sweeping religious freedom restoration acts on record. People have said that Arkansas is now, because of these laws, one of the most anti-LGBT states in the country. Do you think that's true?
Yes, I do, because we're in the South and we're in the Bible Belt. It's a difficult place to live for the LGBT community here. There are a few pockets of progressive life here in the state. Little Rock and Fayetteville and also Eureka Springs are really more open and accepting than other places in the state. As a trans woman, I will not go to certain areas of town or definitely will not travel alone if I'm driving across state or things like that. Here in the state, Southern Baptist in particular, Church of God, Assemblies of God, some of those traditions are really scared of some of the changes that are being made and improvements that are happening for all people here in the state and across the country.
To a well-meaning person of faith, and I'm actually thinking, for example, of my in-laws who are from a rural community and good people who love my partner and me and have been very embracing, I could see that if you explained what a religious freedom law was to them, they would say, this is common sense. They would have a hard time seeing how damaging it could be.
I think everybody's religious freedom is very important. I also think that an individual's religious freedom ends at the tip of their nose. Through having those conversations and discussing with people that while they have the freedom to believe what they believe and practice the religion that they practice, we in America all have that same freedom. We have the freedom to be whatever religious tradition we wish to be, or we have that freedom to not be religious whatsoever. And because that is the America that we live in, they have to respect that. It really goes back to our founding fathers.
Have these laws, do you think, led to an increase in violent actions, or are people more afraid, do you think?
Yes, they are, and especially in the trans community, although it's true for the entire LGBT community, folks stay hidden, especially in the more rural areas. They make pilgrimages, if you will, to places like Eureka Springs and Fayetteville and Little Rock, just so they can find places where they can express their true selves and be themselves.
Do you think some of the anti-LGBT rhetoric has kind of backfired in a way, in that people are motivated to take a stand, maybe even just on their street, people who wouldn't otherwise have done that?
Yeah, I really do think that when we look back on these events in the future, we will see that this legislation and whatnot really was the tipping point for folks really coming to an understanding of how oppressive life is for the LGBT community. And one of the things that I really think is happening, those folks who aren't touched by family members or friends or coworkers who are LGBT, like you said, you know, folks on the street, all of a sudden, they're recognizing the fact and seeing that the LGBT community is filled with just common, real people who want to get along in everyday life and live their lives just like they would as straight cis folks.
This is Abby Dees, and I've been talking with the Reverend Gwen Fry about Arkansas's Act 137 and the fight for LGBT equality in her state.
In late breaking news, Arkansas Attorney General Leslie Rutledge doubled down this week to thwart the progress of LGBT rights. Her office has filed an appeal asking the state Supreme Court to overturn a lower court ruling in favor of naming both married same-gender spouses on their children's birth certificates. Stay tuned. Thanks for choosing This Way Out, the international LGBT radio magazine. This week, Carol Myers, John Dyer V, and Abby Dees contributed program material, with thanks, as always, to Steve Pride. Kim Wilson composed and performed our theme music. This Way Out thanks the Ivana Foundation, the estate of Christopher David Trentum, our contributing affiliate stations, and you, our listener supporters, for making this program possible. You'll find more information about the show, the crew, a video teaser for our special From Outlaws to In-Laws compilation CD, and more at thiswayout.org. Email tworadio@aol.com or write to us at P.O. Box 1065, Los Angeles, California, 90078, USA. For coordinating producer Greg Gordon and everyone at This Way Out, I'm Lucia Chappelle. Thanks for listening online at thiswayout.org and on 5UV Adelaide, South Australia, KSKQ Ashland, Oregon, Boise Community Radio, Boise, Idaho, and more than 200 other stations around the world, including this community radio station. Now, y'all stay tuned.